1 Peter chapter 5. We're coming through this book rapidly to a close. This morning is a verse before us, the next verse before us, which is very needed. It's very appropriate for the day in which we live. And it's just one verse this morning and the number of words in it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 words. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Let's pray together. Father, whatever cares and burdens are in the lives of your people that are here this morning, I pray you would help them get the right perspective with them. And God, maybe there's someone here that has the greatest care in the world, and that is that they're bearing a load of their sin because they've never placed it upon Jesus Christ and given it to him. I pray, Lord, today if there's that person that's without Christ, you'd help them to come and find the relief that's only found when we lay our sins upon the Son of God. We pray, Lord, that you would help all your children now. I can't get in the hearts and minds of them, but you sure can. So, Spirit of the living God, would you minister to your people and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The first thing I want to say about this verse, he's not saying that we are to be casting all our sins. That's a very important designation or differentiation between what the scripture's trying to tell his people here. Because verse 7 comes after verse 5 and 6. If you'll back up and read that with me, he says in verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That means if we ever approach God with a prideful heart, that there is no transfer of any care to him because he rejects those. Doesn't matter how hard their life is. Doesn't matter how many difficulties they're bearing with their circumstances. The first requirement of our hearts before God is that we approach God in a humble way and that we have some obedience in our lives. We are slow to submit to God. And therefore, many times we bear burdens and cares that are not necessary. The cares that are mentioned in verse 7 that we as God's people are to cast are those cares that come upon us through life as we are trying to serve God, as we are trying to live for God, as we are trying to stay humble before the Lord. And just the way life is, there are things laid upon us that we have to take to the Lord. But he doesn't say cast your sins. No, he says, first of all, there needs to be some humility. And when we'll approach God with a humble heart, with more humility, you'll find more tranquility. Because pride breeds anxiety and burden. He's not talking about those cares. Oftentimes, many people's care is from a disobedience to God. He's not talking about that. Many of our problems that we experience in life come from an unyieldedness to the Lord, comes from a fretful rebellion against what the shepherd desires from us and in his will. And we'll be mentioning that shepherd several times this morning when he says verse 4, when the chief shepherd, and what he's trying to say is we need to submit our lives to him. And if we'll humble before him, then whatever cares may come because I've humbled myself before God, I can leave that at his feet. But if I'm not in submission to the shepherd, if I'm not humbling my life, if my life is not in harmony with his will, there are all kinds of problems that come in my life and heartaches that come in my life that are not his problem and are not things that he allowed to come in but that I brought into myself. And then those kind of things, those sins need to be brought to the blood. Not, you don't just need to find tranquility or peace of mind through a care of life that's come because of your sin. You need to take your sin to Jesus and get that under the blood and bring a repentant, humble heart. And then those cares will disappear on their own without you even having to go to God and say, God, help me. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference in what he's saying. Cares are not sins. I bring my sins to the blood of Jesus Christ. I confess them. I humble myself before him. And I look at my life and say, all right, are my problems, are my burdens, are my cares, is that because of my sin? And if so, I just need to humble and repent before the Lord. Isn't it true that maybe, I don't know if it's the majority, but I would scarce say it could be, that the majority of our cares are the results of sin and bad choices in our lives. Burdens that we never had to have. Problems that we never needed to bear, that God never intended us to bear. And our care of life, as the song was sung this morning, we ought to want to please the Lord, but a lot of times everybody doesn't want to please the Lord. And when you don't want to please the Lord, when your heart's not committed to Him and humble before Him, there are problems in life. And there are burdens in your life that you're having to carry because you put them there yourself because of your bad choices. You know, our selfish interests, our selfishness brings cares and burdens upon us. People's desire for success leads to a variety of cares that they have a hard time bearing up under. Their desire for fame or wealth. All those things need to be brought to a place of repentance, not to a shepherd's shoulder. You know, there are some sins, there are some cares that come because of our sins. Some cares come because we just invented them. We constructed them. We made them. They're not even real. I'll give you one. Fears of tomorrow. That's a care. Really, if you have fears of tomorrow, that's not something you ought to cast upon the Lord to try to get help from. That's something that you ought to bring to the blood of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I tell you what, I know the Bible says God hath not given me the spirit of fear, and I'm not supposed to have that in my life, and that's a sin. It's wrong, so I confess it as sin. It's not a burden that you have to bear. It's a burden that you need to get rid of. It's a burden that you need to confess. And it'll go away. Sometimes we invent those. Maybe our imagination. You know, that Bible says casting down imagination. It doesn't say to take them up to God. It says if you've got imaginations, if you've got thoughts in your mind that the Spirit of God didn't put there, that God didn't put there, you don't take those and say, Lord, deliver me from that. You take that thought and you throw it down. I'm not supposed to have this thought. I'm not supposed to think that way. So these cares are different. He's writing to a church that is suffering. He's writing to a church that they don't have care because they went into debt too deep. Right? You'd be surprised how many people have burdens they can't live with because they were so covetous that they ran up the credit card and they lived above their means, and then they go to God and say, God, why? And all these problems, and I don't think I can bear it, I'm stressed out. When the problem was, had nothing to do with Christianity. It had to do with I wanted things that I never should have gotten in the first place. See, all those things we invent. Hey, there's enough problems you'll have to go through in life without you putting more on yourself. You understand? That's why we need to live in the will of God. That's why we need to let the chief shepherd God. That's why we need to stay humble before the Lord. And it is no accident, again, that before he talks about us taking our cares and casting them up to the Lord, we have got to first humble ourselves, because without a submissive, obedient life, it is always going to be miserable. It is always going to be tough. The second thing I want to say to you this morning, he says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to tell you that's a commandment. It's a commandment. You see that? Casting all your care upon him. That's what he's telling us to do. It's not an option. It's not something we have to think about. We just obey the Word of God. And all right, I am not going to hold on to this care anymore. It's even hard for me as we talk about this, because I know the context of these people that Peter is writing to and those that were martyred for the faith, and how they endured such suffering at the hands of the government and others because of their faith in Christ. And we don't have that, but still God tells us if there are any cares in our lives, we are not to hold on to them. If you're holding on to the cares of life that have come just because of life or because you're living for the Lord, then you're living against the commandment of the Lord. God says, don't hold on to that. Cast it away. Cast it away. Don't stay there. Now, these aren't cares that disappear. These are cares that must be put upon someone else. They're still there. They don't just go away because you pray. You have got to give them to someone else. And it's a command to do that. The Bible says in Psalm 55, a similar verse, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 55, he says it this way. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's David saying that. David had cares and burdens that were not of his own making. He didn't ask the bear to come into the flock. He didn't ask the lion to come destroy something that he was watching. He didn't invite Goliath to come fight against the people of Israel. He didn't ask Saul to be envious and jealous of him. He didn't ask to be king. He didn't ask for others to be jealous of him and hunt his life like a flea. It just came as he was living his life and trying to do right. And David says this, in the midst of me living my life and trying to live for God, cares came in my life. But he says, if you will cast our burden on the Lord, David said he'll sustain you. You'll probably never meet a 10-foot Goliath. You'll probably never meet a bear or a lion. You'll probably never have somebody throw a spear at you and try to kill you. You'll probably never have to run into the mountains or the wilderness to try to hide from somebody that wants to destroy your soul. But David said, if I have found the place of relief, if I have found the place of being sustained and sustenance, you can find it as well. And it's a commandment to do that. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a commandment. Be careful for nothing. Don't let it control your heart. Let the shepherd control your heart. Let God control your heart. Let heaven and the Spirit of God control your heart. We live in a day where there are a lot of cares. There are a lot of burdens. But if you hold on to those, you're not following the Word of God. You know, Philippians, the whole book of Philippians, is about rejoicing. You know, you read that all through the epistle. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Holding on to your cares steals you of your joy. I didn't say having cares steal you. I said holding on to them. Not casting them to the Lord steals you from your joy. You'll see people that are having a hard time getting through life, and they're just as saved as you and I. But they have the long face, and they can never rejoice, and they can never smile, and they can never sing, and they can never raise their hand to God, and their heart's not filled with peace. Why? Because for some reason, they've chosen to hold on to something instead of giving it to God. You know, I think of the three Hebrew children as they stood before Nebuchadnezzar right before he threw them in the fire. You know what they said? It's amazing. They said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Their eyes were on God. King, do what you want to do, but we're going to do what God wants us to do. And if we have to meet the fire, you know, we're not asking for that. We're not choosing that. But if we have to meet the fire, we're not worried about the fire. We're not worried about the problem. We're not worried about your anger. We're not fearful of it, and we're not filled with care because our lives are filled with God.
and our minds are filled with God. I tell you what, holding on to those cares will rob you of that joy and that peace. It'll do something else to you. Look at Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, it's a commandment to cast our cares upon the Lord. Because if we do not, it'll be a thief of our joy and our rejoicing, but it'll do something else. It'll stop, I hate to say this, but it's true. It will stop the effect of the Word of God in your life. You know how powerful the Bible is. But do you know that the Word of God will not bring forth fruit in your life and do what God wants it to do in your life if you hold on to the cares of this life? Because you can't think about the truth of it. You can't enter into the things of it because your mind is not on what the shepherd is feeding you, and your mind is not on the table that he's got set before you, but your mind is on this burden and this problem and that trouble. Luke chapter 8, Jesus said in verse 14, that which fell, Luke 8:14, and that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Mark's gospel in Mark 4:19 says, the cares of this world choke the word, and there can be no fruit born. Again, Mark 4:19, the cares of this world choke the word. Luke says, cares and riches and pleasures of this life stop the fruit of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about the sower that went and sowed the word of God. Verse 11 of Luke 8 says, the seed is the word of God. He's throwing the word of God out in the ground, but the ground was full of thorns, and it couldn't grow, and it couldn't take root, and it couldn't do the work that the powerful seed could do, and God wanted it to do. Why? Because the cares of this life just choked it out. I tell you what, if we're not careful, whatever I'm going through will overshadow everything God's trying to teach me. And no matter how wonderful the truths of the Bible are, I mean, that Word of God, the Bible says we're born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's powerful to teach you whatever you need to know, what you could never dream of knowing and do in your heart and mind, what you could never contemplate yourself. The Bible's powerful. But I'm telling you right now, every day people come and they sit and listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God gets choked and can't help them. Not because there's anything wrong with the Word of God, but it's because they're holding on to cares that the Word of God can't get through. We have got to cast our care upon the Lord, because if we do not do that, the very purpose that we hear the Bible can't be fulfilled in us. I wouldn't let the cares of this life steal enough from you without you allowing it to steal the Word of God from your heart. It's not worth it. Whatever pain, whatever struggle, whatever heartache, it's not worth it to let that be a thief of what God's trying to talk to you. And probably every one of us have been through there. Every one of us have been through that valley where we've been sitting there and the Bible's going forth, but we just can't hear it, because our heart's holding on to something it should be letting go of. It's a commandment. The third thing I want to say this morning, our text says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, those cares of life are real. They're real. He says, all your care, doesn't matter what it is. There are a variety of cares. But he says, take all those cares and cast it upon Him. Now watch. You know what we do a lot of times?
we cast it on each other. Isn't that right? Now, there are some people that don't do that. There are some people that are so private, amen, they wouldn't tell anybody if they needed prayer. Now, I'm not that way. I need the prayers of those I love, as the old song said. And the Bible does say in the Christian experience, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? But what I'm telling you, our verse tells us this morning is that the one that's really going to help you with your cares, whatever they are, is not even your pastor and not your best friend and not your mother and dad. The one that you need to take your cares to where it will actually make a difference is to the Lord. Casting all your care upon Him. What about all those cares of life? When I tell you what we live in today, there's a lot of family cares. I'm trying to bear some with some brethren right now and pray for them. A lot of family cares. And it affects people deeply when it hits your family, doesn't it? And maybe your heart's trying to do right, but boy, when that devil, which is the very next couple of verses that are in our text that we're going to see tonight, when that roaring lion comes about and starts chewing up your kids, it's sort of hard to just go through life because your heart's burdened and full of care. The devil eats on and chews on and destroys lives. How many of God's people has the devil come in and grabbed a child and grabbed a teenager and grabbed a young adult and just destroyed their lives, and they made wrong decisions and they followed the wrong path? And then here's mom and dad that loved God and wanted to do right, and they look at the child and it's hard for them to go on. What do I do, preacher? Look, I'm telling you right now, I hope all three of my children will love the Lord and that God will be preeminent in their life and they'll love God more than they love their own life, and God will keep them from sin and from temptation and the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I pray for that. I beg God for that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there are some things I can't do for my kids, and my prayers isn't going to make it all go away. But if a care and a burden hits my heart because of something that happens in my children's life, the Bible tells me I'm to take that care and I'm to bring it to God. You know, God can take care of your kids better than you can. God knows what they need more than you know what they need. How many a parent needs to learn that? I don't know what to do. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. I'm upset. Can't keep from crying. I can't keep from thinking about it. You got to take it to the Lord. You got to cast it to the Lord. I'm talking about family care. Last night on our faces before God, last night as men, we were praying. We were praying for some children. We were praying for some children that just found out that their daddy looked at their mother and said, "I'm leaving." Family, grown up in Christian home, independent Baptist church. And now you got young people filled with heartache and pain. What do we tell those kids? You can't wave a magic wand over and it'll go away. What do you do to those kids that are heartbroken? I'm telling you, it's all over our world. Our church is not insulated from it. Our Christianity doesn't insulate us from those cares. God forbid that it happens all the time. But what do you tell an innocent life? I tell that child, that young person, the same thing I tell that parent. Maybe your prayers, maybe you can't do anything about it, but that care that's in your heart, you can take it to the Lord. You're to cast it to the Lord. You can't bear up underneath of it. You can't make it go away. It will not disappear. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells you to bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. How about spouses that are plagued by immoral marriages? What about the abused? What about the hurting? I'm telling you, church, we live in a rough world today.
And we see the blessing of God in our church, and we see people get help from God. But I tell you what, if people are going to get help from God, they're going to have to learn to take the cares that 2017 offers their life and bring them to the Lord. The preacher can't make it go away. The loved ones can't fix it all. When I can't take care of it, I just take it and I cast it to the Lord. Family care. What about bodily cares? Sicknesses, disease, handicaps, pain, those that have to take care of those that are sick and diseased and handicapped. What do we do with those cares? You can't make them go away. God doesn't just take, He says, no, I'm not taking your care away. I want you to bring your care to me. So that in the midst of the burden, you'll find me bigger than your burden. You'll find me more important than your sorrow. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, casting all your care upon Him. What about loss and death? What do we do with that? We have to take it to the Lord. Financial cares of life, safety cares, the future. You have to take it to the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight, or this morning, that Jesus Christ is big enough to shoulder it. You know, probably sometimes what our cares teach us is that our shoulders aren't big enough. That's another lesson of humility. It's one thing when you're strong and vibrant and everything's going well. It's another thing when the rug's pulled out, when the back's broke and you can't make it and you have no answer. Maybe through the cares of life, God reminds us that He's the omnipotent God and He is never weary and He never fails. And if He could carry the cross, He can carry my burden. And if He could carry the sin of the whole world, He can sustain me. The power of the shoulders. Well, I'm reading it today, how the shepherd puts that sheep on his shoulders. Went into the mountains, amen, and sought that sheep and put that sheep on his shoulders. Because he can't walk, can't get through. He's got big enough shoulders for you. He can carry it. He can carry it. Why would I carry something that I know the Lord can carry better than me? It's one thing for me to carry what I need to carry, but there's some things that I don't have enough strength to carry. It'd be a good day when we all find that out. Lord, here you go. I'm casting my burden upon the Lord. Now, fourthly, how do we do that? I hear the verse. I see the verse. And the verse right before it talks about humbling yourselves under the, remember what it said? Under the mighty hand of God. Letting you know that God is strong enough. He's mighty enough. He can take it. He can carry it. But how do I do that? Well, he says casting. He doesn't say laying. You know, when you lay something down, he doesn't say laying all your care upon him. He didn't say that. What did he say? He says, casting it. That's got some force about it. Right? When you cast something, you're throwing it. That means you don't approach these things of your heart in a nonchalant way. You don't even approach them in an irresponsible way. You grab a hold of your cares and you just throw them to God. You throw them with force and you throw them with might. How do we do that? It requires the hand of prayer to lay the matter before God, and it requires the hand of faith to believe that it matters enough to God for Him to take care of it. It's prayer and it's my faith. As I'm humbling myself, as I'm drawing nigh to God, and I'm throwing my care at Him. And I'm doing it in faith. And I'm doing it in prayer from my heart. Sort of reminds me of that. And it doesn't take. You say, well, I've never had such a time in prayer where it was like God was in the room. It doesn't take much faith. It just takes faith. It takes little faith. Little faith moves mountains. I mean, how much you want, you know. I'm reminded of that woman that had that infirmity. I bet it was really hard to go through life. The Bible says she suffered many things of the physician. I don't know what they'd put her through. I don't know if they made her a guinea pig. And back then, they probably didn't have all the medicine. And they were trying everything. And they were using her as an experiment. And she had suffered many things, the Bible said. And nobody could help her. And the crowd was there, and she didn't know how she could get to Jesus. How am I going to get to Jesus? I've heard he's got all the answers. I've heard he's powerful enough to cleanse the leper. I've heard he's strong enough to make blind eyes see and deaf ears hear. I believe he's got the power. I believe he has a mighty hand. I believe his shoulders are big enough. But how am I going to get to him? And as they thronged him, she just pushed away. And she said, I tell you what. If I could just touch just the hem of his garment. I don't have to touch his hand. I don't have to have him come over to me and touch my head or wrap me in his arms. He didn't even have to see me. He didn't have to touch me. But if I can just by faith get close enough where I can just touch the very least little part of the border of his garment, I've got faith that he can do for my life what needs to be done. And she just touched the hem of his garment. Virtue went out of him. Went into her and healed her body. Because it didn't take a lot of faith. It just took touching the very hem of his garment. Oh, church, I tell you, today we have a God, we have a Christ that though he's way up there in the third heaven, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's already invited us. We can go on the authority of his word. Lord, you told me to cast it on you. I'm coming. You know what we need to do? How do I do this, preacher? You know what they do? You know what they do in the places where people try to get help from psychiatrists and psychologists? You know what they tell you to do? What do they tell you to do? Okay, just... Oh, okay. Now tell me about it. Well, okay. Boy, it's bad. It's real bad. What's bad? Oh, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. And my life is rough. I don't know what to do. Well, tell me about it. Tell me about your childhood. Okay, here it is. And it's just constantly. They lay on the couch. And then they get up and say, oh, I feel better. How much do I owe you? Right? You know what we need to do? We need to go to God and lay down on Jesus' couch. Amen. And say, Lord, this is how it is. This is what's going on in me. You know he knows it anyway. If you're mad, tell him you're mad. Amen. If you're disappointed, tell him you're disappointed. And I got mad at God years ago one day because he let somebody die that I didn't appreciate. He let die. He was one of my right-hand men in the church. Best man in the church. 40 years old. 3 little kids. And I yelled at God as he's in my car, and I said, God, this is not right. There's a whole house full of them that don't care about you. There's a whole neighborhood that would never try to serve you. But this man, why'd you do that, God? You said, why would you talk to God that way? He already knows my heart anyway. And I needed to take that care and throw it on to Jesus. He's big enough to take it. And the more I talked to him, the more I stayed in his presence,
And the more you'll just let him know, you know what you can do? You can get up and say, all right, thank you, Lord. How much do I owe you? What can I do for you now? Because our text says, casting all your care upon him. Now, what I'm going to finish. Lastly, for he careth for you. That's how I know that I can go to him, because he cares for me. You know how many people in this world don't care? You know the majority of people that say they care don't really care? Judas walked around talking about the poor all the time. The poor. Let's take care of the poor. You know what Jesus said about Judas? You know what the Bible says about Judas? Not that he cared for the poor. He looked like he did, but he didn't care. The politicians don't care. They can promise this country everything in the world and give them phones and give them houses and give them food. They don't care about people. They care about their own power. And I hate to say this, but sometimes your own family doesn't care. Now, the family of God shouldn't be that way. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, sometimes, even in the family of God, we don't have the care we ought to have for one another. But in your personal family, how many times have we seen parents that really don't care about their children, or they wouldn't make those decisions that they make in their lives? They wouldn't have that example that they put in front of them. Sometimes your wife may not care, your husband may not care. But I tell you one who does care, because the Holy Ghost wrote it in that book. And nobody in here can ever say what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, no man cared for my soul. You'll never be able to say that, because he says he cares for you. How do I know Jesus cares? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? So deep. And the long night and the heart breaks. Does he care? And the song says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. That book says that Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And if he gave his life for you, if he shed his blood for you, if he let people mock him and despise him and hang him on a tree, he cares for your soul. Nobody cares for you like Jesus. That's why you can bring whatever you want to bring to him, because he loves you. He's your shepherd. He wants to supply your need. He wants to lead you and guide you and feed you and restore your soul. Jesus said, you see these sparrows? Not one of them is forgotten. A sparrow. He said, and not one of them falls without your Father. I don't know about you, but I don't care when a sparrow falls. It doesn't affect my life. It doesn't change my life. It doesn't make it better, and it doesn't make it worse. Happens every day a million times, I'm sure. But God Almighty looks down at His creation. He's even interested in the sparrows. He's interested in the ravens. He says, look down there at those lilies. You see those lilies? I care about those lilies. I feed those lilies. I make that grass grow. I'm interested in the grass, and I'm interested in the animal. I'm interested in my creation. And then Jesus said, are you not of more value than many sparrows? And does he not love you more than he loves a flower? Maybe what we need to do is just take God at his word and say, oh, yes, he cares. The disciples came to Jesus. They're full of care. Their ship is up and down. The wind's blowing. The waves are tossing. They think it's over with. Jesus is down there asleep in the ship. And they go wake him up. You know what they say, Christian? They say what the devil makes us doubt sometimes. They go grab Jesus and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Questioning. Don't you care about us, Jesus? And he that can rebuke the wave and stop the raging of the sea cared more about them than they could ever care about him. Because soon he would die for them. Martha comes to Jesus and says this, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But Martha, why don't you just sit right down here? Because I love you just like I love your sister. Why don't you just bring it to the Lord and leave it there? Roll away, roll away, roll away. Every burden of my heart, roll away. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord.